Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, the older you get, I'm speaking from experience now. You get the chance and opportunity to observe more things the more time you're given. Now, some things you see all the time and all of that, but as time goes on, you get to observe things. You get to observe things about yourself, right, if you're paying attention. You observe things in people around you. You observe things and take note of what happens in society, community, culture, nation, world, all that. You just, over time, you gather information. And some of it, you just observe something. You're not always sure what to make of it, but you just kind of collect what you saw or heard or what others are experiencing. And as a pastor, I've observed some things over my life, my own development of faith, and watched and observed people, believers in the Church of God, the local bodies all over the place. I've listen to people. I've listened to saints, those who are older than me. I've watched and listened and learned some things. I just observed some things. Those same age, those younger. And I want to share with you just a couple of quick things that I've observed, and we're going to then look at the Scripture. And I've observed things, being a person who, through his experience of salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit and the activity of God's Spirit in our life, like Scripture says it should be, we're a full gospel people. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the ministry of the Father, ministry of the Son, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Which brings understanding, brings revelation, brings things greater than we know at the time that we need him to explain to us. He shows up and does demonstrative things, things that we see the fruit of what he's done, like he's been in the room because nobody else could do this. Randy, pick up your feet. You shall stumble, but you shall not fall. Hallelujah. So I'll throw in a little scripture there, Bill. And we see the Holy Spirit do some remarkable things, things that kind of make us scratch our head, things that make us think, is that just a person doing that? Is that really the Lord? We take in a collection of a lot of things that we get leery about, some things that we believe. I've watched on the hyper side, okay, if there's such a thing, a hyper side of pursuing the Lord with great zeal, which we should be doing in our life, but pursuing him and hearing some teachings that will be used. People will pull out scriptures. We pull out scriptures even in our own life to justify our faith and what we believe. And now we know that our words matter very much. They carry a great weight, okay? We know that God spoke things into existence, such authority, and he is life, and he is the only one that is purely good. And he spoke the word. Jesus came and spoke the words of God. Jesus was the living word of God. And we know that words matter. They carry a great weight. Some of you still struggle with what your third grade teacher said to you in front of the whole class. And you're 73 years old. something your mom or dad said to you. Some authority somewhere said something to you. It could have been, they thought it was true, and so it hindered you and tripped you up your whole life that you never even developed in that area because you were told something by somebody, and you just kind of said, yep, I'll just never be good at that. Words are powerful. You can have a conversation with somebody this last week, and there was something in the conversation that kind of tripped you up or kind of hurt you a little bit. And you're still working through it. Words carry great power. And we know that we are supposed to speak the Scripture, right? We're supposed to speak God's Word. We're supposed to encourage one another. Speak words of life to one another. Sing. Use our voice to declare His wonders, right? And to sing Scripture and pray Scripture and speak Scripture. And I believe that we're supposed to speak these life-giving words. We're supposed to speak positive faith things. But I've observed something. I've watched in people's lives, they recognize that the word carries power, and yet sometimes they don't want to admit reality because the reality is there's something negative or that we classify as bad. And there are those that say, don't say that. Don't say that. That's negative. Don't admit that. Don't admit that you have bronchitis. The moment you admit it means you've received it and you're going to have bronchitis and it's going to get really, really bad because you said you have it. If you say it, I was talking this morning to my buddy here. Sat down at the table. We were sharing a cup of coffee. Well, we each had our own. We weren't sharing a cup. I'll drink first. I'm done. And of course, you know, a big topic even more than usual is the weather, right? How great this has been in Wisconsin. Oh my words, you know, came out of February, they're opening golf courses up here. I mean, I haven't been out there and I don't plan on it right now, you know, but they're opening it up. Got guys calling me, guys texting me. Look at this. They're sharing me stuff from Facebook because they know I'm not on it. So here's a pick or a what do you call that? What?
Screenshot.
A screenshot. Thank you. I've used those words together before. I just couldn't think of it. You know, and so we were talking. How nice this is, and man, I'm not going to object. This is great. You know, and then he says, "Well, you know, it's only March. You know what happens here in March, April? We could just really get dumped on with snow and it could get..." And I'm like, don't say that! Ah! I cancel it! In the name of, you know, Jesus, please. Right, you, like, we're going to pay somewhere. It's going to, you know. No, I'm not criticizing them because I said, well, yeah, it could even happen in May, you know. I remember when I lived in northern Minnesota. Oh, Mother's Day weekend, the opening of walleye up there. Poof. Snow, cold. Yeah, I didn't really care too much because I wasn't out there. But anyhow, So, you know, it's like, don't say that. Because if you said it, if it happens, everyone in here, you get a stone. It's his fault. And we joke about this, but we consider the more serious issues of life. Don't say you have that. Well, something's going to take us out. No, don't say that. Something's going to take us out, or Jesus is. Right? That's the reality. And we're just, you know, we just get hyper. Don't speak that into existence. Now listen, I know our words carry power. And I believe that we can speak words and they are a curse opposed to a blessing. It's true. I believe that. I've had a battle and pray through curses. Some of them came through well-meaning people. You fell. You had a serious fall. Oh, man. You're going to have arthritis now the rest of your life. I am. I kind of feel it coming on me right now since you told me. Yeah. Just because it happened to you, don't go throwing that stuff on me. No offense, sister or brother. You can keep it. Whatever it is, our words carry power. But I've also watched in the kingdom, the people have taken it to a point where they think they're speaking faith, but they're denying the reality of the challenge. Now, the reality of God's word is greater. Healing has more power in Jesus than disease. Okay? But I've watched this happen. People get prayed for. And then, you know, they came up with, I don't know, a bad whatever in their body. And enough where they're hobbling and they hurt. They get prayed for. And they get asked, did you get healed? Yes, the Lord healed me. And they return to their seat in the same walk, in the same obvious pain that they just said they got healed. Now, we know that healing can be gradual. It can grow as you go, right? See it in Scripture. We see this, but there's this other part, and I know that we want to encourage everybody, and they want to, you know, I understand I am being healed. I'm in the process. He's taking me through a process. This healing wasn't instantaneous. Okay, I get that. I accept that. But they don't want to say, I received prayer. No, I'm not healed. So we lie. Now, our intention is not to lie. But we want to make, like our lie has to make God look good. He is good. He is good. God is good, and he doesn't need you and I to fabricate anything to make him look good in front of other people. And we don't have to fabricate anything to make it look to other believers like we have great faith. Jesus never healed anybody who came in it with a mat and they went home on the same mat. It was more often they picked it up and walked away with it. They were healed. Now, I'm about speaking positive and speaking faith and speaking encouragement in the face of an enemy, in face of a battle, in face of a challenge. But the confession of something that is real isn't negative talk. It's identifying the real challenge. And at the same token as believers, we identify the reality of the answer. He hung on a cross. And by his stripes, we are healed spiritually, physically, the entire person. That's the truth. But when it doesn't manifest in the moment that we want it to or how we want it to, we're not here to fabricate thinking we're making a great profession of faith. I'm going to show you, and God's word as he has shown me, what a great profession of faith is. And this has to do with whatever we face in this life, whether it's just trouble or it's just difficulty. It's the flesh, it's circumstance, it's because of other people or this sickness unfolds or whatever it is. I want you to listen to what a great profession of faith is, because we as believers, we all want to have a great profession of faith. That's why we sometimes say some things that aren't completely true. I mean, after all, who wants to walk away from the altar after being prayed for and say, yeah, I didn't get healed? I didn't get healed yet. Now that's good. That's positive. It's real. But it's not lying for the sake of trying to bring God glory out of some kind of fabrication. This is real life. And we serve a real God who does real deliverance and who does real healing. And the reality is, there are also prayers that people go to their grave with that were never answered. Some of the prayers were never answered during their lifetime here. Some of the answers they never got to see, but they unfolded after they were transported. But there are some prayers that were never answered. Listen to what a great profession of faith is. It's in the book of Daniel. It's in chapter 3. And many of you will have heard of, you know, the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar, he was convinced to build idols of himself and foreign gods and all of this, and he was coaxed by pagan people, those who didn't honor God or honor God anymore, and convinced him to do this. He went along with it. Then they encourage him to make a decree that says when the music plays a certain time, any time it plays, everybody must bow down and worship the idol. Well, there's three, we call them three Hebrew children, three Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow. They believed in the living God. They didn't bow. And now they were being accused. There were people accusing them of what they did that went against King Nebuchadnezzar's word. You can read about it here, Daniel 3, but I want to get to this point. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, all the musical instruments, and some of them I can't pronounce, I don't even know what they look like, some of these. And every kind of music. You fall down and worship the image that I have made, then it will be well and good. But if you do not do this, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, little g he uses, who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Now here comes the great profession of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve, big G, whom we serve, is able, say it, able. He is able. He is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now here is the second part of the great profession of faith. He just said, God's able. God will do it. And then they said this. But if not, oh no, they don't believe. They just said it, but they don't really believe it. Oh no. It's like, hey, we just prayed with you and prayed for you in faith, and you walk away and you don't feel any different and say, but if God doesn't, don't say that. That's putting negative things into the atmosphere. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We know God is able. We will even go out in faith and say he will do it. But here's the great profession of faith. But if he doesn't, I am not going to give up on him, and I'm not going to come over to your way of thinking. The great profession is, when it doesn't work out like you and I think and hope and pray and we declare the promises, which we should, and it doesn't manifest in our timely manner or doesn't come about in the way we want, that we have a great profession of faith that isn't based upon what we think God's performance under our scrutiny has been to this point. That if he does not, it will not change my faith, and I will not abandon him or his word. They stood there with their life on the line. Nebuchadnezzar was not making a false threat. They fired up the band. They played the music. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not take a knee before the idol. Their life was on the line. Oh, I think a revelation that they love not their life so much that they would shrink back from death, but the word of their testimony, because the power of the blood of the Lamb. Excuse me. Smile at the person next to you and say, it's been pretty good so far. Sorry, I got a scratch in the throat. It's getting dry. I need to stay hydrated. Not overly hydrated, because then we'll be taking a different break momentarily. Oh my, why do I say those things? That was not the anointing right there, I'll just tell you. Their life's on the line. This isn't pretend play. This isn't like, you know, yeah, I'm healed. No, I'm not. No big deal. There's no consequence. I just get to walk out and live my life. Their life was on the line, and they make a great profession of faith. He's able, and he will. But if he doesn't, I am not changing my stance, and I am not coming over, Nebuchadnezzar, to your way of thinking. If your unanswered prayer, hope, request, something comes out of the blue, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and it rocks your boat, will you remember he's the God of the storm? The winds and the waves obey his word. The question is, will you and I obey his word? Will we declare the promise when it seems unanswered in the moment? Or are we throwing in the towel? Are we going to come over to other people's way of thinking? Even well-intended people who come and say, well, it was an unanswered prayer. Well, you know, it's okay. And you need to do these three tricks. And then they throw some scripture in with it. You need to do this. And then you need to do that. And well, it's probably sin. And you probably need... Now, some of that can be true. Not the tricks part. That was an overstatement to make a point. They try to help. You know, Job had some helpers come. Three friends. Tried to reason with him why he's under God's judgment and lost everything except that wonderful wife. Who came to him and says, after he's been suffering and scraping his wounds with broken clay and lost his wealth and lost his children. And she comes to him and say, isn't it about time you just curse God and die? Thank you, sweetheart. I love you, baby. Thank you for being the voice of God to me. Thank you for caring whether I live or die. You know? Yeah. They wouldn't have won the newlywed show, I'll tell you that right now. Those of you over 40 laugh. The rest of you are like, what show? Well, you probably find it on YouTube. Yeah. Curse God and die. Job wouldn't do it. He wouldn't come around to her way of thinking. Though he's lost everything. I mean, everything. It's not like he got fired and is, oh boy, what am I going to do? I got to come up with a job to get a paycheck. What am I going to do for a paycheck in 2 weeks? No, he lost everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their life was on the line. They could have lost their life. Some of you don't know the story, then you need to get a Bible and read the rest of Daniel 3. It is astounding. It is astounding what God did. Oh, we might preach that another time. For you and I, we need to recognize that God is able. Paul writes it in Ephesians 3. He said, God, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than I could even ask or even imagine. God can do it better. He can do it more. In other words, you can't dream it up good enough. God can do better than your best dream. I mean, he does it. He does it through the pages. He does it in our life. He did it for my wife. She dreamt of a knight in shining armor. God did better. Whoo! Talk about a living testimony. Paul writes it in another place. Writes it to Timothy, this young pastor. Paul gave him counsel and tutelage, and he writes in his letter. He said, "I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of it, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep those things against that day." Now, do you know where he wrote that from? Prison. He did not write, "Oh God, here I am, if you haven't noticed, I've been doing your work. I've been preaching and teaching, and I'm in prison. I am doing good things for you. I've been honoring you, and I'm in prison. I know that you are able to deliver me. I know that you are able to get me out. But if you don't, I will not change my mind about you." That is the profession of faith. The profession of faith is not, "I've been doing your work. I've been going to church. I even tithed last month. I gave a little extra, even so the kids could go to their weekend district thing. And I drove through Onalaska, and I was at a red light, and I even threw a few bucks out the window to the person standing there with the sign. It says homeless and out of a job, and and the story's there. I even did that, Lord. And I signed up to help clean up after the cornrows. And I didn't swear for 2 weeks. I only, you come up with your own sin list, whatever it is. I didn't do this, and I've been doing that. And now this life's not going right. Something bad unfolded, and I got sick, and somebody smashed into me, and the pipe broke at home, and my friends betrayed me, and now they're talking about me, and all of that kind of stuff. Oh no, she doesn't like me. You got bigger problems, dude. It's after you get married and she decides she doesn't like you. Then you got problems. That's worth going to the altar for. "Oh, God, make me her boyfriend. Oh, Jesus." No, you get down here after you're married for a while and she don't like you. Then you start calling on Jesus. Then you got a real problem. Like the rest of us. Anyhow. Paul's in prison. You want a profession of faith? He's not in there complaining, murmuring, griping, moaning. There's some other adjectives you could throw in there. No. 3 Hebrew children? Here's the reality. My life's on the line. This isn't looking good. But I'm not coming over to their way of thinking. You got some well-intended people counseling you, but it's not clearly the pure word of God. Listen, do not come over to their thinking. Don't come over to the philosophy of the world because you have some unanswered prayer. Or your life is on the line for the faith. Or some hardship. I prayed. I even fasted. I gave up Facebook for 2 hours. I skipped lunch. I didn't eat. Listen, you read your resume all you want. He's able. And he will. But if he doesn't, will you go out like a champion and believe him to the end? And when your prayer is unanswered, will you knock again? Will you keep seeking? Will you keep asking? Will you keep knocking? Will you keep believing? And the report gets worse, and you go back to the doctor or whoever it is, and it gets worse, and it seems to get worse. Well, I guess prayer's not working. God's not listening. Whatever. I'm just not going to receive prayer anymore. I'm not going to take calls from people trying to encourage me. God's just, you know, he has it in for me. Now you're starting to speak negative criticism of the Lord. That's different than saying, this is the situation. And he hasn't delivered me yet. Or he hasn't healed me yet. Or he hasn't resolved this problem yet. Or he hasn't given me all the wisdom and insight yet. Listen, you remember when Charlton Heston led out the Israelite people. I mean, Moses. Some of you are like, what? Who's Charlton Heston? Is he in the Bible? Who's that? And you're looking up, is it Charlie 1, 2, or 3? Listen, you need to watch the old movie, The Ten Commandments. I won't go off on a tangent. He played Moses in the movie. The movie was good and gave a panoramic view. I'm not going off on it. I'm just telling you. Not everything in there was strictly biblical, you know, but. Do you remember what happened? Moses leads them out of being slaves, and he's bringing them to the promised land. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. And then they started to complain. And they started to murmur about their circumstance, their situation. They started talking amongst themselves, against the leadership, against God. They started to listen to other people's thoughts and opinions, even to the point where some of them said, we were better off back in slavery. Yep, I guess we're going to come over to your way of thinking. God answered, God gave them, God led them, showed him his presence, fed them, watered them and their livestock, etc., etc. But they complained and murmured before the fulfillment of the promise. And do you know how many of them made it into the promised land? 600,000 of them died between Egypt and the promised land. There were only a couple who made it. The rest of them all died somewhere in the desert. And you know, they wrapped themselves in that blanket they weaved of criticism of God, true negative talk, murmuring, griping, moaning, etc., etc. And in that blanket they wrapped themselves in, thinking they were so right, they died in it. And they never saw the promise. But see, those who said God is able, and he will, and if he doesn't, I am not changing my thinking on the matter. That is the declaration of faith, not the faith that says, it ain't working out, I'm giving up. Oh, it was the testing of my faith. Well, I don't know if I believe in all that after all. And you come up with your reasons why, that you can shrink back from knowing him and believing what's right and have a true profession of faith to the end. In Numbers 14, you will see, if you were to read it, Numbers 14, they sent over spies to check out the promised land. And of those spies, they all gave a bad report, and they spread the bad report amongst the community. Two spies came back and gave a good report. Here's the reality. What we see and what God is able to do and will do. And the other's like, here's our reality. Don't go, blah, 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 blah. The spies who came back and gave a negative report and spread it throughout the community of God's people. Those spies all died of a plague that God sent to them. Here's your parting prize. Because you didn't believe that I am able and willing. And I didn't do it according to your schedule or what you saw. And you abandoned me and criticized me. And you went over to the way of thinking of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you are able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Amen. It starts out and says, don't conform to the patterns of the world any longer. Listen, I have sincere compassion when our prayers seem unanswered and life gets overwhelming and it seems like a bunch of bad things are happening. Hey, I walk on this earth. Don't think because I have some letters before my name that, ooh, well, you're immune. You live in the bubble. I had my youngest sister die unexpectedly. It wasn't just old people in my family tree who passed away. I've had my car break down on the road, a long way from home, and no money to speak of. I've had people talk about me unjustly. I've also had people talk about me justly, but unjustly. I've had people betray me. I had a girl break up with me once. God solved it. He brought me another girl. Hey. That heartache. Might be different some years. Might be the same. But God is able.
Yes, he is.
And he is willing. But if he should not do it in the moment you want, or after you receive prayer 20 times, will you come 21 times? Well, I guess he's just not going to heal me. Been praying for 2,483 years. I guess he's just not going to heal me. I guess this is just God's will. Well, you will never be healed because you came into a foreign thinking that God is no longer able and he is not willing. And just poor me, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you've become negative and critical of him. You've moved beyond the reality of your challenge, and you have forgotten the reality of God. Why do we have to sometimes wait for God to answer? Here's my answer to you. I don't know. And I wish I did. But I'm also good putting my head on the pillow at night and saying, I trust you. And if you don't ever tell me, I'm okay with it. Because you don't answer to me. You do not answer to me. And I am not the judge. And you do not sit under my scrutiny. I will have questions. I will work out my faith. Fight the good fight, admit the reality, but not at the point where I don't believe any longer that you are able and that you're willing. And I will not come over to some other strange philosophy that caters to my hurt and caters to my, I need peace of mind, I need closure, I need, you know, whatever it is you want to do, however you want to explain it. It's the preacher's fault. The people didn't have faith. I did. I felt it. I cried. You want a great declaration and profession of faith in your life? Is that you're still going to adhere to the Word of God. And when things don't work out like you think or plan yet, that you refuse to change your thinking according to what's true about him and his word and his promises. Listen to this. Your faith is supposed to outlive your lifetime. Your faith is supposed to live past your last breath. Not, well, you know, I did my best. God's got it out for me. God hates me. Now you're lying. Stand up, please. I'm sorry for the disappointment and hurt and frustration that we sometimes feel going through things. But if that moves you to disbelief or unbelief or to come around to some other way of thinking so you can figure out a way to describe it and it's acceptable to you and to God and other people, then you have no declaration of faith. Not like these Hebrew boys. Not like those Hebrew brothers. King, you could take us to the fiery furnace. Because we're not going to bow to any idols or images you have built or had made. We're not bowing to any other gods. They all have small g's. You can play all the music you want. We're not bowing. Because our God is able. And He will deliver us. And if He doesn't, we're not changing our mind. So fire it up. Set the furnace ablaze. And they put him in it. It says in the scripture that just the heat of that furnace that they put him in, just the heat that radiated, killed fire attendants, those who managed the fire, those who were there to watch. It says the heat, it killed them. And they put three in the fire. And when they looked in, they saw four. They saw four. Do the math. They saw four. You, my friend, are not alone. It may not be answered right now, but you are not alone. You are not alone. He is able. And He's willing. You just remember, you are not alone. He may do it. And He might do it just like you think. Oh, those are so much, those are so fun. Those are such fun moments. Because they're easy. How is it that we think this life should be easy? Because Jesus is peace. And God loves. We turn peace and love sometimes into things that they are not. Because we don't read it. We don't take time to say, Holy Spirit, explain it to me. Holy Spirit, show it to me. And then life comes along and tests it. And we go, and we crumble. Gave His life for you. Think that was easy? He went to the, just as Jesus went to the garden and said, Father, man, if this doesn't, I'm paraphrasing. Father, if this doesn't have to happen, if I don't have to go to the cross, if I don't have to go to trial, if I don't have to get beaten and have my beard plucked and put big long briars into my skin and skull, if I don't have to get beaten, if I don't have to carry a big wooden cross, if there's a way where you don't have to put those big spikes through my hands, my forearm, through my feet, Lord, if you could take this cup from me. If I didn't have to feel abandoned by you with that moment that I become sin. Because I know you're holy and you can't look on sin and I'm going to become sin. One of the greatest hurts beyond physical is that emotional moment for Jesus, the Son of Man, to have his dad. Have his dad turn his back on him. They've always been perfect fellowship. Father, if we don't have to go through that, if I don't have to do this, Let this cup pass from me. And then his great declaration of faith. Nevertheless, your will, not mine. Your will. He loved not his own life so much that he would shrink back from death. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they love not their lives so much that they would shrink back from death. And you and I have trouble in this life that doesn't even threaten us with death, and we're crumbling. You didn't answer. I've been praying a long time. All my friends are praying. Well, will they pray one more time? Will you pray one more time? Will you keep knocking? Because he's able and he's willing. But if he does not, I'm not changing my mind. That is a declaration of faith that transcends every hassle, every disease, every hard thing in this life. Her faith is to transcend all of that. That is the declaration of faith.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.